You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
There is new video out of Minnesota, Minneapolis, where the ICE-involved shooting took place. I think you can clearly see from the video that the ICE agent told her to get out of the car, and the other, her wife said, drive, drive, drive. She strikes the officer, and it's a horrific situation. How it's ending up in comedians' monologues like Jimmy Kimmel on The Daily Show is just so incredibly distasteful and wrong, in my opinion. She's still a woman who's dead, and I just think it's just outrageous. But we'll talk about that. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our 4 o'clock hour. It's Friday. And we're happy to be here with you. And I just wanted to test that. All right, good. We might need that a little bit later in the show. Don't worry, DeSantis. I got a whole thing I'm going to do for you. I'm going to talk about how great of a producer you are. But every time I say something nice, I'm just going to go so that you can't hear it. It's going to be like this. You know, working with Matt DeSantis has been the opportunity of...
Get over here.
I mean, he's really a talented, dedicated producer. Probably one of the absolute best. And I think that, you know, we're all going to seriously... Right. See? See how flawlessly that worked? Well done, Justin.
I like that. That was nice.
Yeah, no, that was a tribute to you right there.
Thank you.
It was a tribute. I'm not doing tributes because we're not going anywhere. And Matt's still going to be helping me on the side, by the way. So, and Justin, too. Justin, I'm going to give you all the money in this. What is this? What is this jar filled with dollar bills? What is this? Friggin' Delilah's?
I wish I knew what that jar is for. It's probably some Kale and Company gimmick, if I had to guess.
But, you know, I mean, not for nothing, but... This could go a long way at the vending machine down the hallway, is all I'm saying.
You're not wrong.
I doubt they've counted this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That vending machine is not cheap either.
No, it's not.
It's when I was, why are we surprised that it's not cheap?
When I was back at the studio in December, I was trying to be nice. I was like, Justin, you want something to drink? I'm going to the vending machine to get myself a Coke. He said, yeah, I think he wanted a water or something. It was like $2 for the water.
Listen to him whine.
That's insane.
God,
I spent $6 on a Coca-Cola, but he'll whine about a $2 water.
Well, the water wasn't for me, which is why I'm complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Coke I need, I have to have the Coca-Cola. I can't make it through the show without it.
No, obviously not. I mean, you and Hunter Biden, in order to get through something, you need your Coke. So.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, Justin, you owe me $2.
Yeah, well, he doesn't owe you anything. Here, take $2 out of their stupid Kale and Company swear jar.
I'll ship it to Arizona.
I'm going to make it rain. This is what I do when I go out to the clubs. Make it a rain if you're watching on the YouTube chat. That's a saying for when you throw dollar bills. The dollar. I don't even know, though. I have not been to a gentleman's club in a long, long time. Oh, he's saying there's $20 in the jar. All right, you know what? I'm going to count it. And if he's even a dollar off, I'm taking it. First of all, I have not been to a gentleman's club in quite some time. I got to feel like the going rate has got to be more than a dollar, given inflation, right?
I would say easily.
I mean, under Biden, I think it was $10 for every dollar you would normally give. But,
well,
yeah.
I don't get how that even works now, because who carries around cash in 2026? Well, I only use a credit card.
You know, you're so cheap. You were tipping them in pennies, and now you're not going to be able to do that anymore. A beautiful woman would walk over, and DeSantis would try to slip a penny in her G-string, and you can't do that because they're not minting pennies. So I don't know what you're going to do next time you go to a gentleman's club.
He's got to upgrade the nickels, but now he's giving them significantly less.
Oh, there's a fiver in here. Oh, that's how they got to the $20. There's a $5 bill. I could use some change. I might break some change here. Let's see how much is in this stupid swear jar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and then the 5 is 20. Yeah, he's right. All right. You know how much cocaine is probably all over my hands right now? Money is the filthiest thing. You know that, right? Because, like, people roll up dollar bills and snort coke on it. It's disgusting.
Oh, especially from, like, coming from, you know, that money probably came from this city, and you know.
Yeah. Plus, it's in this swear jar, so I'm going to put it right back in here with their American flag, and I'll leave it right there.
There's probably some kale spittle on those bills, too.
Yeah, probably. Well, also this microphone, too. This whole studio is disgusting. I mean, not for nothing, but looking around this place, look at this. Look at this. It hasn't been cleaned in years.
It probably hasn't.
Well, you know, what I'm going to do for Monday, since I'm in studio today, is I'm going to leave a filthy banana peel right here on the desk for Nick for Monday morning. So, actually, though, we have hosts coming in this weekend, don't we? Yeah. Right? Don't we have any live programming on this? We do.
We have live programming, but I don't think...
Oh, is Azelby... Yeah, he's not coming in studio.
I think Azelby's back.
He's back hanging with Vince Papale down in Florida.
And Rooney's doing whatever it is Rooney does. He does his show with...
Do any hosts come to the studio anymore? What is wrong with this industry? This is outrageous. Outrageous. This work-from-home mentality and culture that has infected talk radio. I, for one, find it to be a shocking...
Right,
in fact,
Matt.
So much so, I quit. This is going to be my last 3 to 7 p.m. show because of that, in protest.
You created a work-from-home revolution. It's your legacy.
I really did. You know, and during COVID, too, the way that Stocker and I were able to extend that, because we both had babies at the same time. So we were like, well, the baby, you know, the baby can't go near anybody because of the baby. We just kept extending it. And then I remember one day, I was like 2 years after COVID, Odyssey put out an email saying for the next 2 weeks, everybody should be remote. And then I don't think I ever came back after that. I was like, well, you know, you never said when the 2 weeks starts, technically speaking. So I think we're still in the 2 weeks. But Matt, I also wanted to mention, you know, in addition to working with you and what it's been, it's...
But who knows about cocaine? Anyone ever seen cocaine?
Coca-Cola. Is that what you mean? Coca-Cola. Right? Right? See, Matt, what I've enjoyed about you being the producer of the show in all this time, you've done a great job.
Yes. You're about to get dropped.
You've also done a good thing with that, and then the other thing, too. And so,
get over here.
I think, what are you doing?
Yeah. So there you go.
Thank you.
And that is from the heart. Every word of that is from the heart. Okay? So, you know, the audience is wondering, am I going to say anything nice about you today? I just did. We have it. And we'll play it back later, too. If you missed it, I'll just replay it right now. It goes like this. It goes, Matt, you've been really amazing. Like,
get over here.
In all the years of producers and the other thing regarding them. So, really, truly. So, Matt,
get
over here.
What are you doing?
All the other things. So, there you go. Thank you again.
I don't know how to feel about this. I'm going to have to consult Linda Kearns as to whether or not that's a genuine compliment or not.
I mean, yeah, if you can you can take the audio and separate it into audio files and take out the screaming Kensington hottie.
Yeah!
I wonder what she's up to these days, the Kensington hottie. I figured by now you'd be married to her, but, you know.
No.
Of course, that would involve you actually being with a real woman and not just an artificial intelligence.
I have a girlfriend. Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you do. You definitely do. Yep. You do. That's right.
You've met her several times.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No, we all have. We've all met her, right? Yeah. Many times. Many, many, many times.
Well, I don't think Justin has met her.
Nope.
Steve Pacroduni said, I straightened out that corner on January 1st. They are slobs. No, they really are freaking slobs, because that corner looks like a mess. I don't know. I don't know if you move the camera, but you can see there's scrap paper, there's cards, there's all kinds of, you know what it looks like? It looks like a freaking fraternity house in here is what it looks like.
I know there used to be a Trump sign, Trump and Vance sign.
Floor next to a paper bag with Nick's name on it that's all torn up, like... He had a rabid raccoon in it or something like that. I mean, Kale, pick up your freaking paper bags. Not for nothing. You got to leave them in the studio like that. I'm gonna tear this place up on my last day officially here as an employee of Odyssey. Cause, you know, go out with a bang.
What are they gonna do?
You know what we might even do today, for old time's sake? We might even play What's on the Cut Sheet and take it back for one more day. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. Like, what could they do to you? Fire you? You're fine.
I mean, it's very possible they still could before 7. I've always been, you know,
We'll save it till like 6:30.
Yeah.
At that point,
good call.
We're wrapped up.
Pretty much in the clear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder where that is even on here. I got to find it. Let's see. Because they stole that from me, the morning show. They stole that. It's my intellectual property. But every intellectual property I have belongs to Odyssey until today. It's at 6:59 p.m. And Greg will say he came up with the idea. All I can say is whatever. He's the boss, so we'll let him believe that. That's fine with me. He can do that. And, Matt, I want to say one more thing about you. And this is, I mean this from the heart, sincerely. This is from the heart. You have given a lot of pearls of wisdom on this show, and we all know that. And I think it's working with a guy like you with your Ivy League degree and your Johns Hopkins degree and your insight, and you actually read. And we will all remember the great things that you have shared with us over the years, including...
I'll tell you what. I'm skimming through these photos. These are pretty good-looking camels.
Yeah. I knew it. I knew as soon as you started talking, that's where you were going. I knew it was only a matter of time before you
I'll
migrated
you what,
from the Kensington...
I'm skimming through these photos. These are pretty good-looking camels.
From the Kensington hottie to the camel quote, taken out of context. And I will defend my statement. Those were good-looking camels. It was a good-looking camel contest.
You know, you've said more about the good-looking camels than about your good-looking girlfriend. I'm just saying. For the
my
record,
girlfriend is good-looking.
I'm just saying. But she's no camel. Am I right?
It was a camel contest. Arabia has the most beautiful camels. Everybody knows that.
Fair point. They are... Wow, this is weird. All right. Luckily, we're going to jump back in. The president's taking some questions at the White House. We're going to dip back in here as he's being asked about Venezuela and Russia and the situation in Minnesota. We'll dip out as well. We got Dr. Wilfred Riley joining us at 4:30. Dr. Victoria Coates joining us at 5 o'clock. I'm sure Road Warrior is going to complain about that, but it wouldn't be a day without Road Warrior complaining. It would be, you know, somebody from... like a day ending in Y. Is Road Warrior even on the YouTube chat, or is he?
I haven't seen him at all.
I think he's gone incognito again.
Yeah, I haven't seen him for like the last week.
He does. He disappears, and I don't know if it's because he goes on missions to kill people. I do think he's an assassin. Like I really, I do believe that. You know, somebody's going to end up dead somewhere in some third world asshole country. But all right, let's jump into the White House. Go ahead.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And I'm
go ahead.
On Minneapolis, Mr. Prince, I have a follow-up for you. The state officials there have said that the FBI is not sharing evidence with them. Typically, they would conduct a joint investigation, as you know. Do you believe that the FBI should be sharing evidence with state officials in Minnesota?
Well, normally I would, but they're crooked officials. I mean, Minneapolis and Minnesota, what a beautiful place, but it's being destroyed. It's got an incompetent governor fool. I mean, he's a stupid person. And it looks like the number could be $19 billion stolen from a lot of people, but largely people from Somalia. They buy their vote. They vote in a group. They buy their vote. They sell more Mercedes-Benzes in that area than almost. Can you imagine you come over with no money and then shortly thereafter you're driving a Mercedes-Benz? The whole thing is ridiculous. So they're very corrupt people. It's a very corrupt state. I feel that I won Minnesota. I think I won it all three times. Nobody's won it since Richard Nixon won it many, many years ago. I won it all three times, in my opinion. And it's a corrupt state, a corrupt voting state. And the Republicans ought to get smart and demand on voter ID. They ought to demand maybe same day voting and all of the other things that you have to have a safe election. But I won Minnesota three times and I didn't get credit for it. I did so well in that state every time. The people were, they were crying every time after. That's a crooked state. California is a crooked state. Many crooked states. We have a very, very dishonest voting system. The last time I won, 24, the one that just took place, I won because it was too big to rig. You couldn't rig it. It was too big. But I won the state of Minnesota. It's a corrupt voting system with an incompetent governor, a very incompetent governor.
President.
And by the way, he's a very corrupt governor, too. Go ahead.
I have a question on Iran, but first, very quickly on Venezuela. How do you provide total security guarantees to these companies without putting U.S. boots on the ground?
Well, we're going to work with the Venezuelan leaders and people, and we're going to have a very safe group. And they're going to also bring over some security with them. You know, these are not babies. These are people that drill oil in some pretty rough places. I could say a couple of those places make Venezuela look like a picnic. These are very, these people around the table, these are tough people. They go into areas that you wouldn't want to go. They go into areas that if they invited me, I'd say, no, thanks. I'll see you back in Palm Beach. No, this is a tough group of people. They know how to do it. But we are, in addition to that, we'll have very good security for them. We're going to make sure there's very, very good security. And I think the people of Venezuela are going to give you very good security. You know, the people, that, now I'm not talking even leadership, the people of Venezuela are going wild over this. They named a street after President Trump. What do? You attack a country and they name a street? That's never happened before. Although I heard that's also taking place in Iran. They named a street, the protesters. I just hope, you know, just God bless them. I just hope the protesters in Iran are going to be safe, because that's a very dangerous place right now. And again, I tell the Iranian leaders, you better not start shooting, because we'll start shooting too. With your glasses, sir, go ahead, please. Hold it. Next to you. Yes, glasses. The gentleman with the glasses.
All right, thank you, Mr. President.
With those very big glasses, actually.
Yeah, Ferrari, actually. Mr. President, I have two questions. What do you want the European Union to do in Ukraine? The European leaders seem pretty divided on Ukraine. And then if you can reiterate this straight message that you have to the Iranian leader, to Khomeini, the message that you have.
You're talking about Iran.
Iran, yeah.
What
the first
do I
one
want
is on
Iran
Europe.
To do?
I'm sorry?
Where are you from?
Italy.
Oh, nice place.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first question.
So, what
is
are you
Europe.
Asking about Iran for?
Well, if you can answer about Europe and what you think the Europeans should do on Ukraine, and then a message.
Well, look, Europe has been doing so much for Ukraine, but it hasn't been enough. And obviously, that I would say that President Putin is not afraid of Europe. He's afraid of the United States of America, as led by me. There's no fear of Europe. You know, Europe's fallen behind. And Europe, and J.D. said it very strongly, I don't know, it's took a lot of heat, but I didn't give him any heat. Europe is a different place. Europe is changing. Europe has got to get its act together. I love Europe. I guess I came from Europe, essentially. I have my roots are in Europe. But Europe is a different place. They have to get their act together. Now they've said they have a great NATO leader, and they've gone up to 5% from 2% GDP. That's a big step. But they have to be very careful with their immigration policy, and they have to be very, because, you know, I will just say, to be nice, that there are certain places in Europe that are very important that are no longer recognizable. I'm being very nice. I'm being very diplomatic when I say that. They are not recognizable. And they have to be careful on energy, because they're putting windmills all over the place and losing a fortune. They're destroying their country. They're destroying the beautiful landscapes, the beautiful everything there. They're doing, and by the way, in case you people don't know, I'm not much of a windmill person. I can proudly say, Doug.
Good, no windmills.
We have not approved one windmill since I've been in office, and we're going to keep it that way. My goal is to not let any windmill be built. They're losers. They lose money. They destroy your landscape. They kill your birds. They're all made in China.
Yep.
And all you have to do is, you know, just about all of the windmills are made in China, the structures. All you have to do is say to China, how many windmill areas do you have in China? So far, they're not able to find any. They use coal and they use oil and gas and some nuclear, not much, but they don't have windmills. They make them and sell them to suckers like Europe and suckers like the United States before. They are the worst form of energy, the most expensive form of energy, and in 8 years they're rotted out anyway. Go take a look at Palm Springs, California, and take a look at what that looks like. It looks like a junkyard of steel. So we don't approve, and I've told my people, we will not approve windmills. Maybe we get forced to do something because some stupid person in the Biden administration agreed to do something years ago. We will not approve any windmills in this country.
No, we will not, and thank God for that.
Is it ultimately more important to you to establish stability there or democracy there?
Well, you're talking about maybe the same thing. I mean, you're talking about stability or democracy. I don't know. To me, it's almost the same thing. We want stability, but we do want democracy. Ultimately, it'll be democracy. Peter?
I do have a policy question, President Trump, but I'm having a hard time seeing here. I see the American flag lapel pin. What is the other lapel pin on
Somebody
your
gave me this. You know what that is? That's called a happy Trump. And considering the fact that I'm never happy, I'm never satisfied. I will never be satisfied until we make America great again. But we're getting pretty close, I'll tell you what. This is called a happy Trump. Somebody gave it to me. I put it on.
Thank you. Thank you. And
a happy Trump.
Policy question. How much money are you thinking of giving people in Greenland to get them on board with a possible U.S.
I'm not talking about money for Greenland yet. I might talk about that. But right now, we are going to do something on Greenland, whether they like it or not, because if we don't do it, Russia or China will take over Greenland. And we're not going to have Russia or China as a neighbor. Okay?
All right, we're going to jump out of this. We have Dr. Wilfred Riley joining us next. The president is still going on here. We'll keep monitoring it for you, obviously, and if there's any breaking news, we will get to it, but this could go for the rest of the show. So today, Krista and Steve, who's going to be the project manager for the bathroom renovation. Oh, Henry Machette is in the studio. Look, there's Henry. Henry, what's up, buddy? Got to say a quick hello to Henry.
You rang.
Oh, God. Who
remember that? That?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Wait, who? We got to find Henry's Who Won Social Media drop.
Oh, I could find that somewhere.
Where is
it's
that?
It's got to be on that page you're looking at right now.
Well, then you could also do.
Oh, wait. Is she a great big fat person?
Is that you or is that?
No, that's actually Buffalo Bill.
But go ahead,
I haven't done that in a while.
Can you do it for us?
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Considering you're out of practice, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, seriously. I've been out of practice on all my impersonations.
Let's try, Henry, if you can do this one. Go ahead.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Go ahead, Henry.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Very nice. Very nice. I love it. All right, so where's Henry saying who won? Or you want to just say who won social media?
Well,
who won
social media?
That was great.
Are we still doing that on this show? No. There's no shot.
No, we got sued by the morning show. We're not allowed to.
I see. So. They took everything.
It's great working with you. You're doing a great job with Dom, though.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was always a pleasure working with you. That's right. I mean, I got everything I'd learned here.
Yeah. True.
You put me through the fire.
Well, you were talented.
Thank you.
And, you know, you ran the show. DeSantis was also here. But, you know.
Yeah, he was always chatting my ear off about movies and sports and whatnot.
The best was you two getting into a fight one time about if you could survive jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I still believe that. I think I could.
No.
Yeah, I looked over at the glass, and the two of them are in there arguing like old women. I go, what are you two fighting about? And it was that, right?
Yeah, my theory is that it's the same thing. Like when people who jump off of high cliffs, like, you know, they break the water before they go down.
Yeah,
I would just have to grab, you know, like a cushion or a seat out of the sky or maybe a bag. And right before I hit I have to be flying over the ocean too.
Right.
You know, just spike it on the ocean, break the water before I fall in. And then maybe I'd live.
And Matt, your theory was?
Well, I have two theories. One, I don't think Henry believes anything that he says. I think he just says this stuff to get me angry, and it works every time to his credit. Two, there's no way he's going to survive the 500-mile-per-hour hit once he makes contact with the land, no matter how many cushions he has.
You just straighten out like a pencil, and he goes straight down. It's
what are you talking about? See, he's riling me up again.
It's my Bloomsburg education at work here. I learned something.
Where, oh, here, yeah, this is... Wait, where is it? Is this one, right?
Now, today's social...
Oh, man.
What was that?
That was an old one. I remember I played that by mistake one time on your show.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. No, you did it better. All right, well, we got a guest coming up.
Yeah, I don't
want to
take too much of your time. Yeah, thank you. Hey, Rich, thank you.
In.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm going to miss you.
Well, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I'm going to miss you still.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
All right.
But thank you.
All right, of course.
I appreciate it. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Dr. Wilfred Riley will join us. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right. Dr. Wilfred Riley is going to join us in a second, but our dear friend Sarah Weiss is calling in from Warrington, PA, so we can't keep Sarah Weiss on hold since she makes the most amazing treats for all of us every year. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Rich. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
You too.
Last day you can
too.
Say it, you know, last
call.
Day.
I know. I just had to call because you know what? I just have been obsessed with listening to you for years now, and I just, it's going to be weird without you on here. It really is.
I'll be on here every day, 6 o'clock, every day.
Well, okay. So you're going to be what, 3 o'clock, is it?
Well, I mean, right now it's 4:34.
Okay, but what time's your podcast going to be?
It'll be ready to go at 3 o'clock every day.
Okay, all right, I'll make sure I tune in for sure.
All right, tune in,
for
comment
sure.
along, and share it, all right?
So you still can comment whenever you want?
Absolutely.
Okay, well then, because Matt and Dustin, what are they going to do without you, though?
They'll find something to do, probably actually produce a radio show.
But you know what? They probably love that you tortured them for so long. So now it's like, you know, what are they? They're not going to have anybody else to do what you did with them.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. You got to. It's like a stallion. You break them. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do.
You're right.
So, Sarah, you're the best. How you doing? You holding up okay?
Yes, I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. And like you say, you keep me going. And everybody else on the show, you know, I just love it. So I'll be okay. But it'll definitely be an adjustment for all of us.
Well, listen, I love you. Thank you for supporting Tri-County Auto, by the way. We appreciate that very much.
Oh, yeah. I love my RAV. Love it. Love it.
That's
it.
Fantastic. Well, you're the best, my
definitely
dear. I will see you around, okay? Don't go anywhere. Stay
absolutely.
In touch.
Absolutely. Have some more outings and things, and I want to see you, okay?
We will do that. And Matt has an outing coming up, but it's a different kind of outing, if you know what I mean. All right,
it's
Sarah.
Okay.
Love you.
It's okay. Love you, Rich.
Bye. All right. Did you get that? All right. Let's go to Dr. Wilfred Riley. I don't want to keep him holding. Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me is the book, and he's the man. He's on X at Will_Duh_Beast 630. What's up, my man?
Not much. Good to be back on the show.
Good to have you back. Happy New Year. Last day we can officially say it. And I turned off my Christmas lights last night. You know why?
Well, because it's the official end of the holiday season, I guess. I mean, it's the week after New Year's. I mean, so those moves have to be made, really.
I got my PSE&G bill. That's why.
Oh, okay.
I literally, because I know the Feast of the Epiphany happened, and then I opened up the energy bill, and I said, well, that's it, and went right outside and unplugged them. Because I go full-on Chevy Chase. I go Clark W. Griswold with my Christmas lights. Yeah, and I'm proud of it. I was thinking about this yesterday, by the way. They should make a sequel to Christmas Vacation called Christmas Unvacationing, where everybody takes the lights down and what that's like, and putting away all the stuff. Because you know how you're so enthusiastic to put the tree up and all the ornaments, and then as soon as it's over, you can't wait to get that frigging thing out. Like, I drag that tree out like a dead body and throw it right to the curb, you know?
Yeah, we're doing that right now, actually. We have, like, the 10-foot artificial tree, so I'm, like, unscrewing these bolts from, like, the 1960s and taking the tree out to the garage. We got, yeah, we're doing us and the neighbors. We have us HOA rules about how long things can be up, so you've got all these guys on ladders, like, cursing. You know, I mean, so that definitely is, that's one of the seasons of the year. And, I mean, you have guys that are traveling on sales trips or whatever. You know that stuff's going to be up till only February, March.
Yeah.
So then people approach it in different ways.
So Christmas on vacation. Let's write the script, you and I, together, and then we'll get it made. Why not? You can make a movie nowadays on your phone. You don't even really need a studio anymore, so it's pretty easy. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. We just saw that with some of the political videos, actually, like the Shirley thing in Minnesota, where, I mean, like, I know the guy casually, and you admire what he did, but it's sort of literally like guys with iPhones are walking into public buildings and saying, like, this looks suspicious to me, and pressing play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the technology that you would have needed two cameramen for to film a rap video or an outlaw country video or something or anything political, now that's in your hand. It's just literally like your girl or your buddy is following you with a phone. So that's, I guess, a change in the tech, a change in the world.
I don't want to bury the lead here, but you really have an artificial Christmas tree?
Yeah, I do, actually. I mean, this is it's not really something that's ever mattered to me. Like, I've gone with people, like partners that liked it, to the tree farm and cut down a tree and that kind of thing. But yeah, the artificial, it's a good tree. It was made in like the era of peak American craftsmanship.
Made. All right, that changes everything then. Okay.
That's an American fake tree. I mean, it's a... I'll post a picture of it on my Twitter so your listeners can get a glimpse of this beautiful thing.
Yeah, please.
But yeah,
do.
We have boxes full of ornaments. So all this is like sitting in the house. Like, there right now, I'm looking at 10 or 12 boxes of ornaments in the hall, saints and all this kind of thing. And like, each one has to be wrapped carefully. I mean, so my fiance is doing most of this, but there's like probably 4 or 5 days of work that goes into taking down all of the Christmas stuff without electrocuting yourself or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a damn good movie to watch. All right, I'm glad it's made in America because a lot of the fake trees today are all made in China. So that's good. That gives me that restores my faith in Dr. Wilfred Riley. Not that I ever lost faith in you. Not that I ever would. So.
We used to make fake trees in this country, man.
Damn right we did.
What happened?
You know what else we used to do? Somebody sent me this commercial. I want to play this for you, actually. This is from 1953. This is a TV ad for the product that you know today as Chef Boyardee, all right? This is cut 21. I'm going to play this for Dr. Wilfred Riley. Go ahead.
Hello. May I come in? I am Chef Boyardee. Perhaps you have seen my picture on Chef Boyardee products at your grocer's. Today, I want to tell you about a wonderful dinner for three, a dinner that only costs about 15 cents a serving. It's my own Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat sauce or mushroom sauce. It all comes in one carton. A full half pound of tender, quick cooking spaghetti, 10 full ounces of rich, tasty sauce, and to top it off, a whole can of Zippy grated cheese. A wonderful food. So ask your grocer for Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat or mushroom sauce, won't you? And look for other Chef Boyardee's products. They're also delicious, they're also nourishing, and they help keep the cost of your meals down. Chef Boyardee's products are at Best Grocers.
Ask for Chef Boyardee's spaghetti dinner. Only about 15 cents a serving.
When the hell did it become Chef Boyardee? The appropriation of the Italian culture there. My friend Johnny Cook sent me that on X. What happened?
Well, I mean, that's probably exactly what it is. Like, working class, Polish, black, whatever families started eating this stuff, and it was just like Boyardee. I think it's, I mean, it also is interesting how things drop in class, right? Like, it sounds like they were making that stuff as a, pretty real food for a while when they say, you know, we got a can of grated high quality cheese in this product and so on. So, I mean, like over time, there tends to be a decline in price, quality, size, so on with consumer goods. Not to get into my whole academic thing, but that's actually really interesting to see, like, Chef Boyardee start as a middle class dinner brand where they're correctly pronouncing the Italian name of the chef, who's probably a real guy. And now it's, you know, a can of tomato sauce at the dollar store. It's sic transit gloria mundi, as they used to say.
He immigrated to the United States from Italy in 1914 at the age of 16, opened his own restaurant in Cleveland in 1920. And during World War II, he produced millions of rations for U.S. troops. He sold the company for $6 million in 1946. I mean, if that's not the American dream, I don't know what is. I think it's owned by what? Campbell's now? It's worth roughly $90 million today. I think it's owned by Campbell's Soup, if I'm not mistaken, right? Don't they? Or maybe they have the other one, the other canned pasta. I forget, but that's the American success story right there, Doc.
Yeah, cheer for that guy. I mean, partly the American dream is kind of what he, I'm sure, did the rest of his life, which was, you know, relax with his wife on golf courses and so on.
True.
But actually, that's an interesting story. I mean, when you think about a lot of American pop culture actually came out of World War II, like the Radio Shack was the hut where you'd go where they had the gunny sarge or whatever that ran radio communications for your platoon. And people would go in there, communicate, sneak a smoke, whatever, try to figure out what the Germans were doing. So Radio Shack, the business where you could go buy cheap electronics, was started by veterans from World War II in Korea that were familiar with that slang. Like, the appeal of Chef Boyardee, even in the beginning, I mean, it probably wasn't the greatest Italian food in the world, but it looked familiar to soldiers that had eaten, you know, B-minus pasta out of cans with that guy's face on him for multiple years. So, you know, you come home stateside, and here he is in the stores, and he survived the war, and his brand is multiplying and replicating, and you can make it easily on, like, the little range in your new Leviton house. That's actually kind of charming.
Yeah, it certainly is. No doubt about it. Dr. Wilfred Riley's with us. I understand you're going to be doing a 3 to 6 p.m. shift here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHC in the next couple of weeks. Congratulations. That's excellent.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm more than glad to come in, fill in, hopefully keep the Zioli army pretty entertained. I've done a fair amount of radio, actually, which is something I didn't really expect to do. But a good friend of mine, Larry Glover, is a host on one of the big AM radio stations down here in Appalachia. And I mean, just BSing one day, he was like, do you want to come in and fill in for me? And I turned out to be actually pretty popular with the audience. So I've done it probably 2 or 3 times a month for the past couple of years. Like, I've talked with people about radio show deals. It didn't seem plausible because, I mean, I teach full time at the state college, so I couldn't just say, hey, I'm not teaching class today. I'm going to go complain about the governor on the radio. I think they probably would fire me. It wouldn't be acceptable. So get sued, you know, all kind of problems.
Yeah, all kind of problems. Yeah, but, you know, but doing it once in a while is certainly fun. No doubt about that.
Yeah, no, it's very fun. And I mean, especially I'm friendly with you. I love Larry. I mean, it's a good chance to talk to communities I like, I've gotten to know. And I mean, also, honestly, it's a good way to plug some of my products, like my book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. Every time I do the Appalachia Wide Show, I mean, we jump in sales. And that book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, has actually been pretty close to the bestseller list for a while. Like, all jokes aside, it's still in the top couple thousand in America on Amazon, which I don't really think anyone expected from an interesting but sort of dry history book. Like, my college counted that toward tenure. I mean, so I don't really know if anyone expected that to sell, you know, X number of copies. It was almost an academic book. It was a response to these bad history books out there.
And what's the name of the book again? I'm sorry, I missed that.
A Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, a response to the book Lies My Teacher Told Me, available at fine booksellers near you. But yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of hit or miss with those kind of books. Lies My Teacher Told Me, interestingly, I guess, was also a bestseller.
Yeah.
I mean, probably even more so. I mean, that, I would say, unfortunately, as a guy on the right, has sold probably 3-4 million copies by this point. So we got to catch them.
Well, and we're doing it. We certainly are. Again, that's Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me by Dr. Wilfred Riley. All right, let me ask you about what's happening in Minnesota. I got to ask you about that. Everybody analyzing the camera footage. There's a lot to break down about this, obviously, but what do you make of like guys like Jimmy Kimmel making this part of his monologue on literally the day she died, and whether or not she had it coming or not, and all that. I mean, she still died, right? She still got shot by the police, and she's dead. He turns it into a joke on his monologue to slam Trump. The Daily Show did the same thing yesterday. It wasn't Jon Stewart hosting. It was one of the other hosts that they have did the same thing. I mean, have we reached that place in society where we've kind of become so callous about somebody's death that we'll just instantly, like, it's fair game then to just start joking about it in a so-called comedy show?
Yeah, I think so. And I actually have a real problem with this. So, like, in my personal and business life, I might be of the opinion that other than things like don't eat people, rules aren't real. They're just things we made up. It's idiotic to talk about the laws of war. But I think that if you're a religious person or whatever, even to the limited extent that I am, you recognize that civilization has its advantages. Like those old standards, like speak not ill of the dead, are good in that they regulate the barbarian that's inside every reasonably interesting person, if that makes sense. So that's the role of the church, the town meeting, all that boring stuff. It makes you more than just like a wolf in a jacket. And we've been kind of moving away from that. And interestingly, we've been moving away from that at the same time we've gotten kind of softer and weaker. So you get these very predatory people that also aren't actually that tough or aggressive, which is sort of a horrible combination. But in practice, yeah, I think that those standards, like if someone dies, you're not going to hear a joke from a comic for 6 weeks. You're not going to hear open criticism in an editorial for 6 months. Yeah, I mean, we've clearly abandoned those standards, and that is bad. You know, what do I personally think about this? I'm actually not going to speak ill of the dead. So I mean, getting into like what happened with their kids and so on is off the topic. But like the actual shooting with the police, and it's an interesting question. It's on the line of whether it's a good shoot. But where I would come down here as a guy with a legal background is it's very easy not to get shot by the police.
Yeah.
So this is a situation where someone is at a dubiously legal protest in favor of illegal aliens. ICE is there. They're harassing ICE. People are spitting on them, throwing things at them. This woman is going to be detained by ICE, and with the support of like her lesbian wife, who's a revolutionary poet, she gets in this giant SUV and tries to drive off. And there's an ICE agent standing in front of the car. She hits the guy. She does hit the guy. People are saying these stupid things like she grazed him. You can't hit people with a 2-ton car. Like I only would have broken his leg is not a defense in court. So she hits him, and as she hits him, he pulls out his service piece and he shoots her 3 times. He doesn't empty the clip. I mean, that would have been an incredibly easy situation to avoid, whoever they find for in the inevitable trial. At any point there, you don't go to a near riot, you don't abuse the police, you don't try to flee the scene, you don't hit the cop. So, like, the level of sympathy I have here is virtually nil. And again, that has nothing to do with, is this person a good person with her lover or whatever? It's just, all of this could very easily be avoided. People on the political left who are encouraging people to, what you often hear is stand up to law enforcement, are encouraging this type of crap. And this has been going on since Black Lives Matter. Like, this was the same position that I had on all the Black Lives Matter cases, by the way. Like, when you look at some of them like Freddie Gray, a lot of them like Mike Brown are just good shoots. But when you look at some of them like Freddie Gray, it actually is kind of questionable. Like, the guy ran, but then like these big city cops, you know, did they give him a rough ride, quote unquote, up there in Baltimore or Philly? Maybe. But was he on drugs? Like, yeah. You know, could some of them have been charged with misdemeanors at least? Yeah, but also Freddie Gray was a drug dealer who targeted young black kids. So you go back and forth, and they went back and forth in court. But where you have to come down is, again, it would have been very, very easy for that guy just to have survived and gone home that day. And telling people, especially black people, especially now these young working class white radicals, they don't have to do that. Just punch the cop. It's your right. Is the stupidest thing you could possibly do, and it's going to get a lot of people killed. That's kind of a shorthand version of my take there.
Well, Dr. Wilford Riley, I think your take is right. It's also similar to Chris Rock's take, right, about how to not get your ass shot by the police. Like, I mean, he did a whole bit about it, and it's hysterical, but it's also true.
Well, Yeah, like step one, I especially like stop committing crimes. Like, I mean, where he shows like the, and he again has all the urban stereotypes, like the redhead, maybe Irish kid, the black kid, the kid in the hoodie. But like people are passing crack between their hands. But yeah, when you look at the BLM cases, I mean, one of the questions I asked in my book, Taboo, and I'm on the right. I'm pretty far right, but I was good faith about this. One of the questions I asked was, are we going to find any of these cases where a regular, normal black man, or for that matter, a working poor white man, no criminal convictions, wasn't committing a felony at the time, was just trying to go to church or business school or hoops practice when a cop with a previous record of abuse confronted him and killed him?
Right.
And I looked through all of the cases that became nationally famous, and the number of them that met that bill was zero. The one that came closest was a guy named Philando Castile, who no one really talks about.
Yep, I remember that one. That was a man who had a license to carry, and he had a little bit of marijuana, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, that was actually a tragic case. It was the guy was a chef at a Montessori school. He was out with his girl. Yeah, I think she had some weed on her, put a kid in the car. But the situation even there wasn't the cop went crazy. It was Castile, who might have been high, gave this really confusing explanation of what he was doing with his gun. He said, like, I've got a gun. I'm pulling it out. I'm not pulling it out. The cop said, don't pull it out. Castile said, I'm pulling it out. The cop probably panics, shoots once. But there are two things here. One, the reason the cop was nervous, the cop was a good cop. There'd been a wildly violent armed robbery committed by a guy who looked just like Castile like 20 minutes before.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost never mentioned as part of the story. Two, cop himself is a minority guy. He's Hispanic and Native American Indian. His name is Geronimo. So,
well, the name like Geronimo, you're going to shoot. I mean, that's just the way that, you know, that's not his fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no fear. He wasn't even scared. It's just a tradition.
Come on, obviously.
But I mean, banter aside, like I understand the feelings of the police officer in that situation. And I understand what, you know, Mr. Castile, to some extent, must have gone through. That was a tragic case. But that also doesn't meet like unqualified white cops. So in the end, I mean, I talked with the publisher, Regnery, and none of them. So that's the same thing here. Like you can't drive your car into a cop. That's where it stops. That's where 90% of citizens are going to lose sympathy.
And you made a point, Dr. Riley, about the protesters that we're seeing in Minnesota and Minneapolis. They're all white people. I mean, they're all these white liberals, and this is what we keep seeing here. These agitators who happen to be these white, college educated liberal people who are all out there protesting in the streets every day. It seems like you're not seeing working class black guys and white guys going out there and doing these things. It's just not happening.
Yeah. So this gets into a really awkward point, which is that a lot of the criticisms that people kind of like both the white and the black Rotary clubs made of the civil rights movement in the 1960s weren't entirely inaccurate. And for decades, if you said that, people will jump up from behind the bushes and start screaming about how you're a Nazi. But there is a practical reality to some of this, like the argument that outside agitators, quote unquote, are often paid by activist groups to come into conflict zones and fight is something that I actually know is true. I mean, I've talked on this show before about working as a traveling canvasser for what I'll refer to as the People's Project when I was in college. And the deal is very simple. If you're a young guy, and especially you're a young athlete, these organizations, which work for left-wing and often right-wing groups, will pay you to go to offices full of other young, aggressive people in large cities, stand in public places, and raise money. And political campaigns and the like will sometimes offer you extra money to show up at rallies, carry signs, chase away hobos, etc. And people of this kind pretty regularly are bussed in by groups like Ice Watch to do stuff like this. That's an actual thing that happens. I can't confirm that it happened in this situation. But yeah, I mean, the people in Minneapolis, whenever they've shown arrest records for some of these groups of rioters, I mean, Minneapolis, obviously, is where George Floyd was killed.
Right.
And
now they're trying to, and Tim Walz is he keeps referencing that as he tries to kind of save his political ass.
Well, yeah, so that's one, getting to the point here, because I was rambling a little bit. When the Black Lives Matter protesters were arrested following the death of George Floyd, they arrested hundreds of them because they burnt down the entire Lake Street business district, which, by the way, is the city's traditional Black and Asian business district. It has nothing to do with white supremacy. When those arrests were made public, as I recall, 72% of the people that were arrested were white. The country's only 60-some percent white. So, yeah, a lot of these people are young radicals that are coming from other places to fight for what they think their cause is. And a lot of times they're wrecking the place that they're going. The average working class guy in Minneapolis probably doesn't want to live next door to a house full of 30 Somali men. And that's what this young woman was fighting for. That's what this young woman died for. Matt Walsh, the conservative commentator, had a pretty pungent take on this where he was like, she's out there brawling with the police for these, you know, whatever IQ score scammers from a third world country. Like, if you, when you go to the funeral for her, it's going to be all other white people with blue hair. And
right.
People started screaming about how wicked this the thing to say this was and how Jesus wouldn't have liked it, which may well be true. But there is a cold reality to that. And you see a lot of these people in the left wing political scene. You did when I was in it. You do now.
Well, listen, we'll look forward to hearing more from you when you are here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And in the meantime, get the book, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, Dr. Wilfred Riley. Have a great weekend, buddy. It's great talking to you as always.
Lies. All right. Good talking to you, Rich. Have a good day. Bye.
All right, buddy. All right. Dr. Mike Vidaria is our big story sponsor of the hour. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. VenariaDental.com. Coming up, Dr. Victoria Coates joins us with the latest on Venezuela, oil, Greenland, Russia, and more. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.